Our subject is Shiva Simea Miluim, according to the Ramban, the various korbanos that were brought. We're going to try to stitch together the Ramban in Parshas Tzav, the Ramban back in Parshas Tetzaveh, and perhaps even the Ramban in Parshas Shmini. We have, with regard to the Shiva Simea Miluim, three korbanos. We have the par, which is a chatos. We have two elim. One is an ayil as an ola, and the other is an ayil as a shlomim. And what we want to focus our attention on is the par lechatos. Let's look at the Ramban in Parshas Tzav and try to get a grasp on this concept of the par lechatos and its objective. The Ramban can be found in Perek Ches of Sefer Vayikra, Pasuk Chav Beis. The Ramban, with regard to the El HaMiluim, which is the third in that series of korbanos that we mentioned, that's the Korban Shlomim, the ayil that was brought as Miluim, the Ramban says that that ayil is brought as a Milui Yodayim, which prepares the Kohen for the Avodah. And that's why it's called Yimei HaMiluim. The Ramban, however, with regard to the Korban Chatos, says that Korban Chatos separates itself from this set of three korbanos. Let's read the Ramban's language inside. He says, V'hine kol ha-korbanos boim lemalei es yodam kirichsiv v'zeh ha-davar Asher ta'aseh, Asher ta'aseh lehem l'kadish osom l'chayin li, kach par echad ben bokar, v'elim shnayim tmimim. Avod nikra ha'ayil ha'sheni el ha'miluim, bavur shu sofa korbanos halolu, ubo temale yodam, v'chano l'fonov yisparach, Lefarish ki kula mi'akvim be'inon. So Ramban points out that there's special emphasis on the El HaMiluim, the second ayil, which is brought as a Korban Shlomim, because that completes this set and also clinches the Milui Yadayim of the Kohen. Now the Kohen is prepared for the Avodah. All three Korbanos are ma'akev, they're absolutely indispensable. And they're all part of a series of process of Milui Yadayim, but the third korban is the clincher. Now the Ramban addresses the chatos, which is the first of the three korbanos, that's the par. The Ramban says, Yitochen ki hachatos lechaper al hamizbeach ulekadsho. The Ramban here is referring to an earlier pasuk in Perek Ches. The pasuk says in pasuk Yidalid, "Vayagesh es parachatos, vayismoch Aaron uvanov es yideim al rosh parachatos." And then pasuk Tesvov, "Vayishchat, vayikach Moshe es adam, vayiten al kanos hamizbeach saviv betzpa'o, vayichate es hamizbeach." And Rashi says, "Vayichate chato v'tiaro mizorus likonis likdusha." So this pasuk, which indicates that the parachatos has the objective of preparing the mizbeach for kedusha, this is the pasuk that the Ramban is referring to here when he says, "Ki hachatos lechaper al mizbeach ulekadsho." Kichen ksiv, as the earlier pasuk tells us, v'ha'ola l'hartza al hakohanim kikaporas kol olas nedava, and the ayil li'ola, the first of the two elim, has the objective of ritzui for the kohanim, a kapora for the kohanim like any olas nedava. Then he gets, of course, to the third korban of this set of three, and that is the El Hamiluim, Hashlamim. And what's the purpose of the third korban? Todol Hashem, Shenosan Lahem Bibeso, V'chomosav Yad Vashem. The Ramban is paraphrasing, of course, a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, and that pasuk tells us that it is a great privilege to serve Hashem in His bayis. And because the Kohanim were granted that privilege, Ramban says, they have to bring this third karbon as a thanksgiving karbon. And then the Ramban says that the Shlomim Levadom Boim Al Milu Yodayim V'lachein Yikaru Miluim. The last two karbonos of this set of three, meaning the two karbonos Elim, are called the Ele Miluim. And why is that? Because together they prepare the Kohanim for their avoda. The first of the two is a mechaper, it's an olas nedava. Well, it's like an olas nedava, in this case it's an olas chova, but just like the classical olas nedava is a mechaper, so too the aisle of the olah that is brought during the Shivas Yimei Miluim is a mechaper like any other classical olas nedava. So that certainly prepares the Kohanim, because now they've experienced the kapara power, the ritzui power of the Ola, the first aisle. And the second aisle prepares the Kohanim as a milui yodayim, which means that they bring this karbon as an expression of thanks for the special, unique responsibility that was placed on their shoulders to serve Hashem in His house. That second aisle is called the El Hamiluim. It's not a mechaper, but rather it is a preparation for the Kohen by the Kohen expressing his thanks, his todah, as the Ramban calls it, for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them in his house a choma yad, and his choma a yad vashem. With regard to the Karma Chatos, the Ramban here says that the purpose of the Karma Chatos is to be mechate the Mizbeach, to prepare the Mizbeach, to sanctify it. That's called Lechapra al Mizbeach. And just like the Ola, which is the first of the two Elim, is brought as a Ritzi for the Kohanim, so too the Karban Chatos is brought as a kind of ritzui, if you will, like a mechaper for the Mizbeach, to purify and sanctify the Mizbeach for all generations to come. However, and this is going to be the subject of our discussion tonight, the Ramban seems to contradict himself. And here we're going to turn, you know, rewind, turn back to Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Torah commands Aaron Ubonov on the Shivas Yimei Miluim. And there it says in the Pasuk, this is in Perek Chavtes of Sefer Shmos, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Uparachatas Ta'aseh Liyom Ala Kippurim V'chatas Ala Mizbeach V'chiteso Ala Mizbeach V'chaperecha Olov U'mashachto So L'kadsha. Shivas Yomim Techapar Ala Mizbeach V'kidashto So In the context of that pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the pasuk ends with Umashachto Sol Lekadsho, the Ramban says on the words Ta'ase Layom Ala Kippurim Hanochon Ki Ala Kippurim Al Shnei Ha'elim Shehem Kippurim Li Aaron Ulubanov, Kmo Shomar Khan Vi Achlu Oso Asher Kupar Bahem. He's referring to an earlier Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vi Af Kiyachatos Kapora. Here the Ramban is saying, strangely enough, that the two Karbonos Ha'elim are coming to be mechaper on the Kohanim. Now we know that's true of the first of the two Elim, namely the Ayel Liola, The second aisle, which is called the El HaMiluim, that was as an expression of Todah. And in a sense, the Ramban, by placing and equating the Karban Chatos, the Parla Chatos, with the two Elim, he is definitely defining the Karban Chatos, the Parla Chatos, as a Mechaper on the Kohanim, just like the two Elim. And that's how he's interpreting the words Al HaKippurim in this pasuk, Parla Chatos, Ta'aselayom Al HaKippurim, meaning in addition to the two Karbanos Kippurim. The Ramban brings a raya that Karban Chatos is a Karban HaMachaper because it's written together with the Shlomim, and the Shlomim it says V'ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem, meaning that the Achilas HaKarban Al Yidei HaKonim is a kapara, and so too achilas achatos is also a kapara, just like kaparas ha'elim. The only difference between the two of them is that whereas the kapara of the elim was on the kohanim, the gufa shel kohanim, the kaparas achatos was on the mizbeach itself. Now, what we have here is the following problem, the following apparent contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam is indicating that the El HaMiluim, the second aisle, which is a Karban Shlomim, is Lekapara. And yet, the Pasuk describes the El HaMiluim as Milui Yadayim, Milui Mamish. And the Ramban makes a big deal about that in Parshas Tzav. That's contradiction number one. There seems to be a second contradiction in the Ramban with regarding the Par Lachatos. What is the purpose of the Paralachatos and what is it coming to be Mechaper? In Parshas Tzav, it's clear from the Ramban that Kaporas Paralachatos is on the Mizbeach. And again, the language of the Ramban will reiterate it is Yitochen Shiachatos Lechaper Mizbeach Lekacho. That's one. However, the Ramban in Parshas Tzaveh contradicts himself. Because as we'll soon read the Ramban inside, the Ramban says that Paralachatos is a kapara on the Maisa Egel, on the participation of Aaron in the Maisa Egel. In truth, I just want to point out that the Ramban contradicts himself within Parshas Tetzav itself. In other words, not only is there a contradiction between what we read in Parshas Tzav, where the Ramban clearly indicates that the Chatos is coming l'chaper al mizbeach to sanctify and purify the mizbeach, whereas here in Parshas Tetzav, as we'll soon see, the Ramban has a different definition of the kapara power and objective of Chatos, of the power of Chatos. But even in Parshas Tetzav itself, he contradicts himself, because we just finished reading the Ramban in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Vav, on the Pasuk Upar Chatos Taaseh Liyom Al HaKippurim, and the Pasuk there says V'chitesa Al Mizbeach B'chapercha Olav, and the Ramban indicates that the purpose of the Chatos is to be Mechaper on the Mizbeach. And if that be the case, now we'll read the Ramban in Parshas Tetzava that drops the bomb about Maisa Egel. The Ramban is earlier in Perek Chof Tes of Shmos, of Parshas Tetzaveh. And there, the Ramban says, Tisarif Be'esh V'atam Bazeh, Shakol Goli Lefonov, V'hoya Par Chatos Zeh, Lechaper Al Maisa Egel, V'karbono Shal Kohen Mashiachu, V'smicha Be'bonov, V'bnei Shis Anif Al Aron Lashmido, V'hu Kilui Bonim, is Hutsuchu Gam Hamlis Kaperbo Vitama Srefa Kitam Srefas Paraduma Visoda Yodua Min Soira Mishtalech. So without getting into the mystical dimensions of this Ramban regarding the analogy between Srefas Achatos and Srefas Paraduma and the Soira Mishtalech, which is sent off the Tzuk, leaving that out as a separate issue, the Ramban clearly writes that the purpose of the Parachatos was a kapar for the Maisa Egel, first and foremost for Aaron, but it's more than that. It's for Aaron Ubanov, Lidore Doros, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought
to destroy Aaron, which means, by definition, a destruction of his descendants. They all now need a kapara for the chet ha'egel, and that kapara is inherent in the goal of the parachatas. So again, if we assume the parachatas is mechaper, on what is it mechaper? Is it a kapara, or as the pasuk calls it, chitesa al mizbeach the kaparcha olav, or is it a kapara for Aaron ubanav for the ma'isa egel? So we really have a double stira. First of all, the Ramban seems to contradict himself between Tetzave and Tzav as far as the purpose of the El Hamilun, the second aisle, which is the aisle of Shlomim, whereas in Tzav he indicates that the purpose of that Karban is to express Todah, so that the Kohanim will express their thanksgiving for having merited the privilege of serving the Beis Hashem. In Parshas Tetzaveh, the Ramban indicates explicitly that the aisle Lishlamin, like the aisle Ola, is a kapara. And then the Ramban throws the Paralachatas into the cholent, and he equates all three. And the Ramban, when he demonstrates that the aisle, both Elim, but certainly the aisle Lishlamin is a kapara, he quotes the pasuk here in Parshas Tetzaveh, V'ochlu osom asher kupar mahem, which sounds like the mili yadayim here is not the korban todah, it's not the expression of todah to Hashem, but rather the kapara element. So how do we reconcile these Rambans? Let's begin with the first stira, namely, what is the purpose of the El Hamiluim, the Ayel Lishlamim, the second Ayel? And in order to explain that, and try to reconcile the two Rambans, let's note that the Ramban speaks about Kapara with regard in Parshas Tetzav with regard to the El Hamiluim. And we'd like to understand what is a kapara. A kapara is translated loosely into laz as an atonement. However, if we take a look at the Ramban elsewhere, and now we're going to really rewind the Ramban to the original place that the concept of kapara appears, we're going to go back to Vayishlach, Parshas Vayishlach. And this is in Shmos, Perek Lamed Beis, in the episode of Yaakov and his encounter with Esav, when Yaakov sends all the gifts to Esav, and the pasuk says, "It's pasuk of Aleph, V'amartem gam hinei avdecha Yaakov acharenu, ki omar achapra ponov b'mincha, achapra ponov." And the Ramban says, what is this achapra ponov? Zokta Ramban, vehikdim osonu lefonov, laseis kofar nafsho al ra'oso pnei kvodcha b'mincha hazos. The message that the avodim of Yaakov are transmitting to Esav is that we are first, meaning we as representatives of Yaakov, are bringing to you, Esav, a kofar nefesh, a chapra ponov. Yaakov is coming to see your kavod, meaning your honor, so to speak. And first, he's going to bring a kofar nefesh. And the Ramban illustrates this by quoting a sort of a simile or a some sort of a paradigm of what a kofar nefesh and who brings a kofar nefesh. Says the Ramban, kasha yitnu ha'avadim kaporam b'seislem reshus liros pnei ha'melech. The Eved, the servant of the king, would like to have an audience with the king. He can't just jump in to see the king, he needs license. He needs, if you will, a matir. What is the matir that's going to allow the Eved to come in and have an audience with the king? A kapara, which Ramban identifies as a kofer nefesh. Is then it says achrichen in the next part. In the next part of the pasuk, the sefer pasuk of aleph, ere ponov, I will see his face. Ki ulai yisa ponai. The Ramban adds v'yichabdeni lios miroi pnei amelach. Maybe if I bring this kofer nefesh, even though again the melech doesn't need the kofer nefesh of the Eved, it's probably relative to the treasury of the kingdom and the king, it's probably a pittance, it's relatively insignificant, but nevertheless it's an action of ritzu, it's some sort of pacification, it's, you know, you come in front of the king, this is what you bring. Even chassidim, when they go to see the Rebbe, they bring a kofer nefesh. And the Ramban continues, says, Zev mala mi yiroso mimenu. This is a great expression of the reverence that a person has, in this case the Eved has, for the king. Uba chapra b'ponov kiderch ve'ish chacham yichaprenu yiten kofer ala chachma. The Ramban quotes psukim in Tanakh to illustrate this pshat. Ki li olam lo tovo kapor b'cheit. The Ramban says that this is not... this kapori here is not an atonement for sin. Aval yomer lechaper al nafsho sechem lechaper olav v'nislach lo al nafsho v'yomer achaper biad chatosechem v'kula milosh v'nosnu ish kofer nafsho shehu pidjon. He says that although you'll find the word kapora consistently in the context of chait, you need a kapora for a chait, but it doesn't mean that the word kapora, as we understand it, is defined as the atonement itself, rather the method and the means to achieve that atonement. That's called a kapara. Kapara is a kofer nefesh. And the kofer nefesh is going to be the nesina that a person brings in front of the melech. And that itself serves to be poda himself. In other words, he's like redeeming himself by implicitly acknowledging that he's not worthy, but he's redeeming himself by giving a kofer, by giving a kofer nefesh, by giving a pidjon. He's redeeming himself. And that's the minhag of avodim. When they come in front of the melech, they give and offer a kofer nefesh in order to have an audience with the king. And this would seem to be the concept of the Korban El Hamiluim. We're talking about the second Shlomim that's brought as the clincher of the El Hamiluim, and the Ramban in Parshas Tetzaveh identifies the objective of this Korban El Hamiluim as a kapara. What does Ramban mean by a kapara? The answer is that the purpose of this Korban is a hodas baldin, meaning the Kohanim are now admitting that there's a great gift that they've received over here, an unbelievable privilege that they could serve in the Mishkan of Hashem, and they achieve a Yad Vashem B'chol Mosai. So there's an expression of gratitude, of an exclamation of, wow, this is an amazing opportunity that Hashem has given me, chosen me, to step up, to be the Ovdei Hashem B'Mishkan. And I have to express my total overwhelming thanks and gratitude for that opportunity. But what is the Korban itself? The Korban itself is kemineg avadim. It is a kofer nefesh that the Eved gives to merit seeing the Pnei HaMelech. Meaning that the Eved acknowledges and implicitly declares that he has no rights, he has no merits and privileges to see the king, but he's going to give a kofer nefesh, and that somehow is going to allow him, is going to permit him to see the king. And that's what the Kohanim are doing when they bring the second aisle, the aisle of Shlomim. They're being poded nafsham to allow themselves the right to be roi pnei HaMelech, to come into the king's court and serve as an Eved would serve the Melech, serve the king. So if you ask the Ramban, well, what is the message of the Kohen through this Korban? What is his kavana? What is his intention? The answer is he's thanking Hashem for this privilege. But if you ask what is the goal that's inherent in the Heftah Shel Korban, not what the Kohen is saying to the Ribono Shel by bringing this Korban, but what is the Korban essentially in and of itself? The answer is it's a kapara, meaning it's a kofer nefesh. And that's exactly what the Zion Yimei HaMiluim about. These are the 7 days that have a very particular, well-carved out goal. And that goal is to transform the Kohanim into individuals who are worthy of serving Kahuna for all generations. We're really making a radical change in the very essence of the Kohanim. And therefore the Korban itself has to be a Kofer Nefesh. It means that this Kofer Nefesh is going to have an impact on all Kohanim for all future generations. They are coming in to serve the king in the king's palace. They will be in a constant close audience with the king. And what they need is a Kofer Nefesh. It's only with that Kofer Nefesh, when they redeem themselves, that they have rights to merit entering into the audience of the king, to be Roy Pnei Mel Tomin. And what if you ask the Ramban, what does the Kohen himself have in mind when he brings this Korban, when he brings the Korban Shlomim, the El Shlomim, El Miluim? His intention is to thank Hashem for this privilege. How does he achieve the privilege? That's because the Korban itself is a Kofer Nefesh. The Korban itself is a Kapara. And now we move on to what I consider the more difficult part of our analysis, to try to reconcile the Ramban's position regarding the essence and the objective of the parchatos in the miluim here. The parchatos, the first of these three korbanos, according to the Ramban in Parshas Tzav and in Tetzaveh Chav Teslam and Vav, in those two Rambans, as we saw, is to be mechaper on the mizbeach. But yet the Ramban in Parshas Tetzavah of Tes Yudalev clearly states that the parachatos is lechaper al maisa ha'egel. And what is the reconciliation here of this strange contradiction in the Ramban? Aaron sinned and the parachatos is coming to be mechaper for Aaron. I mean, we could understand that Aaron is very inhibited to come close to the Mizbeach and serve and do the Avoda because of the terrible Chet Ha'egel and his participation in that terrible sin. So the Ramban here is understood that there has to be a Kapara for the Chet Ha'egel, not just for the Mizbeach. But yet the Ramban in two places clearly, explicitly takes the position that the purpose of the Parachatos is to be Mechapar on the Mizbeach. Not as a kapar on the Kohanim, as Gavras, but on the Heftah Shel Mizbeach, in order to purify and sanctify the Mizbeach. And again, you might be tempted to say that there are two different dimensions to the parachatos, and two different kiyumim, if you will, two different objectives, but I'm not sure if that's the way to go here in the context of this Ramban. With regard to the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim, the Ramban in Parshat Tetzaveh clearly states that the Parchatos is Mechaper on the Chet Ha'egel. If you fast forward to Parsha Shmini, and we'll take a look at the Ramban in Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel, with regard to the eighth day of the Miluim, we haven't discussed the eighth day, there the Ramban speaks about the Kapar on the Chet Ha'egel, makes a whole big deal about it. But with regard to the Karbonis of the Zion Yimei HaMiluim, that would seem to have nothing to do with the Kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. In fact, the original Tzivui back in Tetzaveh for the Zion Yimei HaMiluim, which includes the Parachatos, is way before the Chet Ha'egel, according to the Ramban. And we'll read the Ramban in Shmini. Ramban says, "Yitochen ki lechaper al ma'isa ha'egel hosif lema karbonos halalu ki kasher tziva v'ze adover shartas lehem lekadish osam adayin lo nasa ha'egel." Meaning, back into Tzav, when they got the command for the Yemei Amiluim, there was no sin of the Egel. It was before the sin of the Egel. And this is the Ramban's famous position that the entire endeavor of Mishkan has nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. Like, I mean, here he takes opposition with Rashi and other Rishonim. The entire, you know, the Chumash has to be read in its, you know, maintaining its integrity and its sequence, and therefore the Mishkan came before, the Tzivah for the Mishkan came before the Egel. In Parshat Truma, Tzaveh, I mean, forget about Kitisa. Aval hayu aparim ahem lechate al mizbeach. Those parim that were brought during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim were for the purpose of Chitoy HaMizbeach, El Aaron Vel Bonav Lekadish Osam. It's all a matter of sanctification. But it's not a kapor for the Egel. The Egel Azeh B'Yom HaShmini, when the Torah adds a Tzivui for the Yom HaShmini, and that's added over here in Parsha Shmini, that's an Egel, and that Egel is meant to be Mechapah the Mice Egel, because the Aver of the Egel in Parsha Kitisa has already taken place. So as far as Yimei HaMiluim is concerned, when the Tzivui was predates the Egel, there the Kapora on Aaron Bonav has nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel, but rather its goal is to be Mekadish, to sanctify Aaron Bonav. But yet, the Ramban in Tetzavach of Tes Yudal that we keep referring back to says that the Parachatos, and he's talking about the Zayin Yimei HaMiluim, is L'chapol Ma'isa'egel. Now there is a Ramban in Tetzavach that we didn't see. It's also in Choftes Lamed Vav, in the context of discussing the Parchatos as a purification, as a kapar the mizbeach. The Ramban mentions the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra that the Ramban refers to is in Parshas Tzav. There in Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Vav, which is the last pasuk in Parashat Tzav, it says Vayas Aaron Ubonim is called Vomashat Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe, and the comment of the Ibn Ezra is that, I'm sorry, it's not the last pasuk, a little bit early, it says Kasher Osa Bayom Hazeh Tziva Hashem Lasos L'chaper aleim, l'chaper aleim. Says the Ibn Ezra, l'fidaiti atam shehizkir apar. Right, in this context, it's the pasuk is talking about the par. The par is the korban chatos. Bavur sheinosein dam ayil ha'ola al aron ubonov v'ayil hasheni yochal besoro kak par chatos hu l'chaper al mizbeach. Okay, so this is so far is very good. The Ibn Ezra, as we saw in the Ramban, identifies the purpose of the Parachatos as Kapar the Mizbeach. And then he adds a sentence. He says, V'chein kosuv al ha-kipurim v'taimo ba'avur ha-kipurim. Interesting. We saw already that the Pasuk equates the Parachatos with the two korbanos ayil, the El HaMiluim, and the pasuk says Al HaKippurim, correct? And the right. Let's read the pasuk one more time. The pasuk says, "Just give me 1 second." Sorry. The pasuk says, "Upar Chatos Tasel Yom Al HaKippurim." And that's where the Ramban points out that Al HaKippurim, meaning that there's some sort of kapara power inherent in the Parachatos, like the two other karbonos of the Zayin Yimei HaMiluim, the karbonos Ola and Shlomim of the Elim. Just that the Ramban identifies that kapara as a kapara on the Mizbeach. Here in the Ibn Ezra it says Ba'avur HaKippurim. It sounds like the Ibn Ezra is saying that the Mizbeach itself has to be designated, has to be sanctified for the express purpose of Hakrovas Karbonos. And the Hakrovas Karbonos obviously have the goal of Kippurim. And the Parachatos is coming to designate and sanctify the Mizbeach as a Makom Roy LeKarbonos, which means Roy LeKippurim. And Rashi also seems to indicate that if you take a look in Parshas Tzav, in Perek Ches Pasuk Tes Vav, it says over here, "Vayikas Kol Chilu Vashal Akerav Al Yosef Sukkav Is Kol Vayker Moshe Vayishchad Vayikach Moshe Sadov Vayiten Al Karnas Mizbeach Sov Betzmo Vayichateis Hamizbeach." And we've already seen that Rashi says, "Chato, chito v'taro mizorus likanes likdusha." The Ramban elaborates on this Rashi, and when the pasuk says, "Vaykachu," and it says, "Vaychate es hamizbeach," the Ramban says, "Chito v'taro mizorus galim vaykachu ba'avodazu lechaper alav." That from now on, and this is all quote from Rashi, the Mizbeach will bring about all the kaparos. In Cain, says the Ramban, Hakosav Yisaper, Ki Bazel is Kadesh, V'roy L'chaper Olav, Mikan V'elech. So the L'chaper Olav means the kapar of the Mizbeach from now on. So how do we understand then that the Ramban is going to suggest in Parshas Tetzaveh that the Paralachatos is a kapara on the Maisa Eagle? That's Tetzaveh Choftes Yudal that we quoted numerous times. So the Achronim, the Shalmi Nochum, they suggest that we should learn a piece, an insight of the Meshech Chochmah Meir Simcha Midvinsk at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. So first of all, let's just introduce this piece by giving some background. What is bothering the Bar Sameach, the Meshech Chochmah? If he compares and contrasts two cases in the Torah where the Torah conjoins, if you will, what we call Smichus HaParshios between Shabbos and Melechas HaMishkan, the building of the Mishkan. And the sequence of what comes first, Shabbos or Mishkan, is reversed. There's no consistency here. For example, if you take a look in Parshas Ki Tisa, you'll find the Melechas HaMishkan first. Just one second. You will find Melechas HaMishkan first in the Psukim, and that's all in Perek, in Shmos Perek Lamed, and the beginning of Lamed Vav. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lema Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, etc., etc. Maleil Saruah Chachma, Lakim Chachma Spuna, Lachshav, all the Melechas HaMishkan, and then in Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'ato Tedaber El B'nei Yisrael Lemar Achash Hapsosai Tishmoru. So the sequence here is Mishkan first and Shabbos second. Now fast forward to Perek Lamed Hei, the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, and there you'll see Vayakel Moshe, and then it says Sheishis Yom Tosa Teosa Moloch Yom Shvi Yelachem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbos and Lashem Shabbos, and then right after that in Pasuk Hei Kechu Meitchem Truma Lashem called in Divlibo. So the Meshech Chochmah comes up with a fantastical structure in order to reconcile this Lechora Stira. And if you take a look at the beginning of Parashas Vayakel, if you have a Meshech Chochmah, there's a paragraph that begins, Hine b'parashas Tisa, Nemar Shabbos Achar Melechas HaMishkan. So as we saw before in Parshas Ki Tisa, and that's in Perek Lamed Beis, in Perek Lamed Aleph, I'm sorry, we have the Mishkan first, and then Shabbos second.
And here he says in Parshas Vayakel, Nemar Lehepuch, Moleches HaMishkan Achar Shabbos, meaning Shabbos comes first. And there's a long discussion about this in the Sefer Hasidim. And you'll see an overview, if you're interested, of the approach of the Sefer Hasidim in footnote number 12 in the Cooperman edition of the Meshech Chochmah. Well, we're interested in the Or Sameach's approach. He says the following. Basically, he wants to know, how do we derive the conclusion that Shabbos is more important than Melechus HaMishkan, meaning that if you have a coincidence of Shabbos and Melechus HaMishkan, then Shabbos trumps Melechus HaMishkan. So in the Sugya, in Yuma, there is a drasha which is called Smichus Parshios. It says in Perek Lamed Aleph, that's in Parshas Ki Tisa, Ach Eshabsosai Tishmoru. And from that pasuk, Ach Eshabsosai Tishmoru, we derive the conclusion that Shabbos trumps Moleches HaMishkan. So that's in Parshas Ki Tisa. The Or Sameach's thesis is that in Parshas Vayakel, in Perek Lamed Hei, there's absolutely no need for a Yalfusa. And simply, Shabbos comes first, which implies its superiority, and then Mishkan comes second. Mishkan is overridden by Shabbos, so to speak. Shabbos trumps Mishkan, and Mishkan doesn't have the power to override. And yet, for some strange reason, in Ki Tisa, the Torah begins with Moleches HaMishkan first, and then Shabbos second, indicating that Moleches HaMishkan is superior, it has Kedima, and it would override the Shabbos. And the only way we're able, lafuke, to exclude such a havamin is lamaskana, based on a separate yalfusa, that ein binyan beis hamikdash docha Shabbos, because of the pasuk achashem sos tishmoru. So why did the Torah have to go out of its way to add achashem sos tishmoru ach to exclude binyan hamishkan, ein binyan mishkan docha Shabbos? Why do we need that? Why not just follow the pattern consistently of having Shabbos first and then Mishkan second? The sequence could be Shabbos first, as it was, as it will be in Parshas Vayakel. And in order to answer this question, the Or Sameach asks a rhetorical question. Well, what's in between Perek Lamed Aleph of Shmos and Perek Lamed Hei? Specifically, what happens in the next chapter in Lamed Beis? Of course, the Chet HaEgel. And here, the Or Sameach has an unbelievable chiddush. He wants to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between the relationship between Mishkan and Shabbos before the Chet HaEgel, that's in Perek Lamed Aleph in Parshas Ki Tisa, and that same relationship post Chet HaEgel in Perek Lamed Hei, which is in Parshas Vayakel. And that's going to explain the difference between the two. And the thesis, in a word, is that before the Chet HaEgel, Ein Achinami, Moleches HaMishkan should trump the Shabbos, if not for this Gzeiros HaKosov of Achash Absolsi Tishmoru. But the Havamin here is a very strong one. And the reason for that, he says, is because before Bnei Yisrael violated the terrible sin of the Egel, which means when we turn the clock back to Ki Tisa Perek Lamed Aleph, before, prior to the Chet HaEgel, then Klal Yisrael is on a level of, and here the Or Sameach quotes a pasuk in Shmos Perek Chav, of Bechol Makom Asher Azkir Shmi Avo Elecha Barticha, meaning the Shechinah Shorah B'Yisrael without the Mishkan. The Mishkan is only designated as a locale. You know, it's a good place for all of us to get together where there's avod, to do the avodah. But the Hashuas Hashchina is in it spreads out and encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. And the language of the Meshech Chochmah is absolutely profound. He says, "Bnei Yisrael bi'atzmam heim hoyu ma'on la'Hashem Yisrael v'heich la'Hashem heima." Klal Yisrael themselves are the ma'on; they are the host, so to speak, the abode of Shechina. And if that be the case, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash can be viewed almost as an avodah. I mean, we know that avodas hakorbanos are so significant and so powerful that they override the Shabbos. Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato. The Binyan HaMishkan would be seen, in a sense, as the precondition or the hechsher for the avodas hakorbanos. And that's indeed the way we're going to define the Binyan HaMishkan in Parshas Vayakel, where Shabbos takes precedence. But from the perspective of Parshas Kitisa, which is pre-Chetagel, we don't view the building of the Mishkan as an introduction, as a heksher prerequisite for the Avodah. I mean, Klal Yisrael is in a state of Avodah upstanding. You know, they're in a standing, ongoing, continuous state of Avodah because the Shekhinah is not limited to the Mishkan. It's all over the place. And therefore, all we need before the Chet Egel is the Avodah Mamish. Again, it's good to have a Mokum Yuchad Avodah, and that's the Mishkan. And insofar as the Mishkan is going to create a Mokum Yuchad Avodah, the Mishkan itself can be seen as part and parcel of the Avodah. But it's not like the Mishkan is going to make a fundamental transformation or a transition from non-Avodah to Yes Avodah. No, the Avodah is inherent in Klal Yisrael because there's Ashras Hashkin in Klal Yisrael wherever you turn, but B'chol Mokum Sharaski Rishmi. That's where Hashem is. We, Klal Yisrael, before the Chet El, are the Ma'on Hashchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inherent in each and every one of us. And therefore, says the Meshech Chochmah, the Binyan HaMishkan is going to be defined as one of the Pratim of the Tzorech Avodah. And as one of the Pratim, as one of the details or extensions of the Avodah, it has the same, Binyan HaMishkan has the same special status as the Avodah, and it's Docha Shabbos. It's only because of a separate Gzeres HaKosuv that's going to block that befoal, and that Gzeres HaKosuv is L'dorei Doros, but at least during that period of time of pre Chet Egel, after the Tzivui of Melechus HaMishkan, Enoch Inami, the Mishkan comes first and Shabbos comes second. And that explains the sequence here in Lamed Beis, that first you have at the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis the entire story of Re'eh, Karasi, B'Shem, B'Tzal, etc., and the building, the Tzivah, the building of the Mishkan, and only afterwards do you have Shabbos, because really the building of the Mishkan is Docha Shabbos, insofar as the building of the Mishkan is like one of the Avodos, and the Avodah is Docha Shabbos. It's only later on in Parshas Vayakel, four chapters later, which is after the Chet Egel, then and only then is the Ashras Hashchinah contingent on the Mishkan. Klal Yisrael inherently do not have the ability to do the Avodah. The Mishkan there is necessary as a prerequisite, as a heksher to prepare and introduce the Avodah. And then we have the Avodah itself that's Docha Shabbos, but Acha Shabsose Tishmoru, we do not violate, override the Shabbos. So we have now, just to summarize the radical revolution here in the Or Sameach, we have a fundamental difference between the Asiyas HaMishkan before the Chet Egel and the Asiyas HaMishkan after it. Before the Chet Egel, the Shekhinah was Shore B'Yisrael wherever they were, even without the Mishkan. They didn't need the Mishkan as a place for Ashras HaShekhinah. The Mishkan only functioned as a Makom HaAvodah. And as a parenthetical insert, if you happen to have been with me during the Iyun Shiur in Brachos, where we discussed Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, in that Shiur we spoke about the Ramban Shita, that the essence of the Migdash is the Ashras Ashkina, whereas the Rambam Shita is that it's a Makom Amiuchel Avoda. We could suggest that the Ramban himself would agree to the Rambam's position before the Chet HaEgel, that the purpose of the Mishkan was only as a Makom Amiuchel Avoda. It's after the Chet HaEgel, when the Ashras Ashkina was very, how should I say, inhibited, very contingent, then we needed the Mishkan for the purpose of Ashras Ashkina. And that's where the Ramban identifies it with the, as he does over and over again in Sefer Shmos, with the Luchos Habris, Luchos Ha'edus, where Hashem is Shoresh Shechina between the Kruvim on top of the Aron that houses the Torah. But be that as it may, that's just in passing, just for anyone who's following, who's with me on Masechta Brachos Be'iyun, all the Chevra here in the Amic Learning Center. In any event, Based on the insights here of the Or Samach and this fundamental distinction, perhaps we can begin to understand that this process of Kiddush HaMizbeach, to sanctify the Mizbeach and the Klesharis and the Mishkan after the Chet HaEgel is different than that same process before the Chet HaEgel. Before the Chet HaEgel, the Shechina was Shruya Yisrael, wherever you turn, B'chol Makom Asher Azkir Shmi, etc. And therefore the Kiddush HaMizbeach was not necessary in order to create the Etzem Makom HaKedusha. The Etzem Makom HaKedusha was everywhere. Wherever Klal Yisrael were, that's the Makom HaKedusha. And therefore the entire process of Kiddush is nothing more than lahakshiras mizbeach atzmo lavoda. And even without the kiddush, there would be a possibility of doing the avodas hakodesh, because the bnei Yisrael themselves are the ma'on, as we said before, the abode of Shechina. And if that be the case, we can understand the difference and the unique status of the eighth day of miluim. All the avoda of that day was to bring the Shechina down so that the Shechina would be Shoreh in the Mishkan. But before the Chet HaEgel, that was absolutely unnecessary, because the Shechina was Shoreh Yisrael wherever it was, wherever Klal Yisrael were. They were just creating a Makom Liavoda. If that be the case, then as a result of Chet HaEgel, there was a need for a Kedusha Yisera, for an extra Kedusha on the Mizbeach. And as a result, that Kiddush process would now, in a sense, retroactively, swallow up and encompass the Shivas Yimei Miluim. In other words, now the Mizbeach has to be Roy for Kapara. For all generations, it's going to be the place where we bring Karbonos Lechaper. What we're going to need now is a Paralachatos, which the Paralachatos during the Shivas Yimei Miluim is not a mechaper on the Chet HaEgel, because as we said before, the tzivui to bring the parachatos came way before the Egel, but rather we need the parachatos now in the post, in other words, between the tzivui and now the implementation of the tzivui, there was a Chet HaEgel, so now we need the parachatos as an act of kiddush that goes way beyond the normal kiddush. The normal kiddush would be, well, you know what? You know, you just need to be maksha the avoda. But now we need a kiddush which, in order to set up the mizbeach as royal chaper, is going to have to relate even to the Chet HaEgel. In other words, we need a tikkun on the kilkul, if you call it, of the Chet HaEgel. In other words, there's no steer in the Ramban. It's definitely the case, as the Ramban has it, that parachatos is not a kapara for the kohenim themselves. That's only going to happen on Yom HaShmini. The parachatos of the Shivas Yimei Miluim, the tzivi of which came before the Chet HaEgel, is only in order to set up the Mizbeach, and, as we said, to designate it and sanctify it. But now that Chet HaEgel has occurred, and the Shechina is Misulekes, the people of Israel don't deserve a Mizbeach Lechaper. They need the Parachatos, not only as a regular Kiddush, but as a double Kiddush, if you will. We'll call it a Kiddush Nala, to the point in which they could be Mesakein through this Kiddush the Kilkul, the sin of the Chet HaEgel, to create a Kiddushas Mizbeach, and the possibility that the Mizbeach would be Mechaper for the Karbonos for all generations. And therefore there's going to be a fundamental difference between the eighth day of Miluim and the previous 7 days. With regard to the eighth day of Miluim, which only emerges for the first time after the Chet HaEgel, since there's no mention of Kaporas Aaron Ubanov until after the sin, that's going to be different than the Parachatos. Now, in other words, the Parachatos that's coming to be Mechaper on the Mizbeach after the Kilkul is given as a command, the Parachatos of the 7 days of Miluim, which now, post Chet HaEgel, is going to also have to undermine the Kilkul Achet, but in its original form, it was only there to sanctify the Mizbeach. And that's the way the Tzivui came in Parashas Ki Teitze, and that's what the Ramban indicates there. But nevertheless, with regard to Yom HaShmini of Miluim, there the Karbonos wouldn't have been necessary if not for the Chet HaEgel. In other words, there's no the purpose of the 7 days of Miluim, the Parachatos, is independent of the Chet HaEgel, whereas the purpose of the Karbonos of the eighth day of Miluim is totally justified and engendered by the Chet HaEgel. Meaning, if not for the Chet HaEgel, there was no need for Karbonos at all on the eighth day. So it was impossible, l'chatchila, back in Parshas Tetzaveh, before the Chet HaEgel, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mitzaveh the Karbonos, to command and mandate the Karbonos of Yom HaShmini, because the Karbonos of Yom HaShmini are purely justified and serve one and only one goal, namely to be mechaper on the Kohanim and the Avera Gdola of Aaron in the Chet HaEgel. Whereas the Parachatos that was commanded in Tetzaveh for the 7 days of Miluim had a purpose in and of itself independent of the Avera, the Chet HaEgel, and that is to be Mekadosh the Mizbeach. And therefore they had to bring that Korban Chatos even before the Chet HaEgel, even if irrelevant, regardless of the Chet HaEgel. What was Mizkadosh after the Chet HaEgel is the derech, the ofen of hakrova, that after the Chet HaEgel, the hakrova has to be brought with a different intention, a different purpose, and a different surah. Now it's coming not only to be mekadosh the mizbeach as a separate act of designating the mizbeach, but also to be mechaper on Bnei Yisrael and transform the mizbeach into a makom aroi l'chapara. That was unnecessary before the Chet HaEgel. That whole heavy barrage of the goal and the inherent essential avoda of the Parchatos in order to be mechaper on the Chet HaEgel and sanctify the Mizbech in such a way that it was royal kapar, because now the Mizbech is not royal kapar at all. There was, again going back to the Arsameach's Chiddush, there was a possibility of achieving kapara because before the Chet HaEgel, because of the Ashras Hashchina b'chol makom through Bnei Yisrael. There was an independent chiyuv before the Chet HaEgel to be mechate the mizbeach with the parchatos during the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, and it's mentioned there in Parshas Tetzaveh. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that parchatos would also serve a second function and have to play a role that's even more profound and more extensive, not just to designate a Mizbeach, but to make the Mizbeach roi, because Kal Yisrael weren't roi to have a Mizbeach kapara. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw already in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Ramban writes that the Parachatos is a kapara on the Kohanim, no less than the two Karbonos Elim of the Ola and the Shlamim. That whole three part series is one entity of bringing Mechaper on Aaron Ubanov, because at the point when Klal Yisrael will implement the Karbonos of Miluim, that already is post Chet HaEgel, and now they have to do something more profound to get the Mizbeach working, up and running. They have to create a Mizbeach that's Roy LeKapara. But I think we've resolved the contradictions in the Ramban, and we'll stop here. Thank you very much.